Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. As we smoke the last bourbon stick my dad gave me, this is the 25th stick. I probably did about five just tune-up subjects in the backyard by myself. I thought today we would talk about in greater detail the notion that there's an ecosystem to our being here, and that those alternate layers of parallel realities that I see every once in a while, that Tesla wrote about seeing, that some of you might see in your own way, that those are precursors and previews that one gets when you're about to go there, when you're about to have a choice. Almost as if it's like, okay, here, dude, you're about to go to this other thing. As soon as you do die, when you do die, however you die, there's a choice. There's six different realities. There's 6 billion realities. Six infinite realities. But the main thought I'm having is this. We all think at one point in our life, whether or not you still think it or not, that we're here to be tested. Because that's all it seems to be, right? What if there is a test going on? And that the sickest joke that's going on with this reality is that you're not told you're being tested. That the whole thing is you need to organically figure out you're being tested. You need to organically choose, not because it's a game, but because you're supposed to be a good person. And if you are, you qualify to be in the next upgrade of reality with more. Well, with the society of people, it's all souls. But people, souls that have gone into bodies and they're at that upper level of consciousness. It could even be, like I've suggested in several episodes, if you remember Tron Legacy, the light cycle routine, where they've got multiple levels to the grid, right? The higher it is, the more peaceful and creative and inspired it is. The more joyful and the more, you might say, as a religious person, closer to God. And the further down it goes, it just gets more evil, more retarded, lower IQs, lower vibrations. And so we want to go up, I think. There's some politicians, I think, want to go down. They love it down there. They're appetites are only satisfied at those lower levels, where some of us are like, do no harm. We want to be creative. We want to make things happen. And I'm supposed to think there's an argument for them making things happen down below as well. But what's really interesting, when I mean, this must sound totally nuts if you haven't had this experience. And I honestly, the one thing I never told you guys was that I had not had this experience until probably somewhere between probably 2007 and 2010. And the reason why I know that is because I used to have my own game company, and I had an office in Costa Mesa and an office in Culver City. It's off Culver City Boulevard. And this other street, I can't remember, but it hit national at one point. But anyway, I'm driving up there because of my company. And I had a problem getting off the Culver City exit because traffic was just so packed. And so I decided to take the 10. And the first exit off the 10 is national, which I can trace back to my digs. It was a weird little building. Looked totally ugly on the outside, but on the inside, it was used to be a sound studio, so these dudes tricked it out. Apparently, it was infested with termites, was going to fall down, and one of the cliches in Los Angeles, well, this whole area is you get these landlords from foreign countries, and they know that they've got a crappy building. They don't want to upgrade it, and so they trick you into a lease, and then they suddenly find everything that's wrong with the building that was wrong before you got there, and they try to blame you for, like, you know, something that's like, you know, 20 years of termite damage. Suddenly you did it on the first day. It's really weird. But anyway, I'm turning down National and I'm going to the first intersection, which has a little zigzag to it. All of a sudden I see this overlay, and it was like that particular area kind of in a futuristic mid-20th century look, the atomic era look, right? Where, if any of you've seen that, it's reminiscent of, it's not exactly, but you know that old picture, and I'll try to put this in there too, the old famous diner painting where there's some famous people in a diner at night. And it was like that during the day. It was like a beautiful deep steel blue where when it reflected, it was sort of a baby blue. I mean, it was just ever so slight metal trim on it. There's a hot dog. I don't say stand, but hot dog restaurant in California Park. It's all red. It's reminiscent of this pseudo jukebox era. When I saw it, it was the most amazing thing because it doesn't just come with a vision. It comes with the most complete gestalt of a feeling. And I'll tell you, it's a feeling of, oh my God, this is nice. I wouldn't say it's heavenly or anything, but it's a definite upgrade that all the dangers and all of the craziness that is so indicative of Los Angeles, especially, is gone. And it's sort of like you're here in a functional world where it's just waiting for you to pick something. But okay, so that's sort of like 50s, but it sort of felt like the future. I've had versions of it that felt like the 70s. I had early 80s feelings, just various architectures. I don't know what it is, but then I would drive down. And this happened when I drive down highways that have a lot of green on both sides with some beautiful like eucalyptus or something, when it's really lived in, my brain goes back to those times. But again, it feels like a future, but it's at the same time I'm at. There's no sense that I'm back in time. It's here now, but the designs didn't change. And it's like one of these analogies I give. The music industry tells you that everything that you liked in the decade prior to the one that you're in is shit, and you got to buy the new music because they need to have a reason for you to redo your catalog and hate your old catalog. But when you look at the fact that Bach and Mozart and Beethoven are all 100 years apart from each other, and classical music stayed as the style of music for 100 years, then you realize, oh, we're being had at this point. We don't have to give up any type of music. We can have tons of jazz at the same time we have tons of rock and roll, classical rock and roll, new rock and roll, classic rap, new rap. I mean, we can have everything at the same time. But they even convince the musicians, the children, that it's stupid not to buy the old stuff. They convince musicians not to make more albums simply because they're not selling, you know, 5 platinum or like triple platinum sales. Trust me, with today's contracts, with today's mechanisms of distributing music, if you sold 250,000 today at say $10 a copy, but you're making almost all the money minus maybe 30% for some, you know, iTunes gouging, you're still making some serious scratch, man. $7 a copy times 250,000, you're going to be sitting way prettier than the contracts you had. And it's a residual over time, right? That's not what this episode's about. This episode is about the notion that this is the game that we're playing at this particular point. There could be other games in different forms of life. But what if the whole thing is that you upgrade to what you have achieved as a person? If you're born in a privileged life and you become a piece of crap human being, then you go down. It doesn't matter, okay, if you have an excuse why you were a jerk. You could cite that your family history and all this other stuff. Now, again, if you're abused as an individual, that's different, in my opinion. You probably just get another chance at this level, right? I'm just guessing. But if you were born, again, in an overall decent situation, you had the ability to get your life together, but you listened to a bunch of television and political parties tell you who to hate, and you bought into that, and you looted, and you rioted, and you killed people, and you hurt people, You didn't have to join a gang, but you did join a gang, and you ended up in a gang, and that's how you died? Probably not getting a high score on the test. You just keep going down, down, down with your own kind. And the reason to increase, it would seem, the reason to increase your difficulty instead of giving you a break is to shake it out of you. It's like that old thing I told you my dad does. He's like, when kids do things wrong, you copy kids. So they bite you, you bite them. You're not trying to bite, you know, to the point you break skin, even if they broke your skin. They slap you on the butt, you slap them on the butt. You know, whatever it is, they break a toy, you break a toy. It's just the game. They see themselves in you. And they can cry and get angry all they want, but they started it right, and they learn not to do that. So, you want to be in a gang? You want to have merciless killing because that makes you feel tough? All right. This time, you're not the dude, you're the chick, and you're going to kill yourself. And as you're terrified, going, how did I get here? As soon as you transition, they go, okay, do you understand what you're doing here? Yeah, totally get it, man. I am going to play it straight. Okay, you're going back in at the same level, but let's see if you can get it right. And then you just kind of chill, right? And you upgrade and you read a book. Read a book. What's interesting is we get these echoes of reality, man. It is such a weird thing. I think we're getting echoes all the time of potential realities, but because, again, we don't talk things out. We don't even think things out. You're like, ooh, that was weird. And it's like a little tiny microsecond of your thought process throughout the day. But if you were to be, like, paranoid, you know, if I put you in a movie where I am trying to get you to see things, like you're a character in a film, and your wife and kid disappeared randomly in this movie. And then nobody seems to know that they existed. Your neighbors don't seem to know that they existed. You can even find your wife's parents and they're like, we don't have a daughter. What are you talking about? And he's like, what are you talking about? You not only have a daughter, you've got a granddaughter. And he could even quote everything back to them about their lives. And they're just like, man, I don't know who you are and how you got that information. Get out of here, right? So now that person's in a world going, oh my God. Something just happened weird. A Mandela effect, some strange things happened. And in order to fix the problem, I'm going to have to be super observant as the character to see every little tiny thing that's weird and hope to God when I wake up tomorrow, more of my life hasn't disappeared. We don't live like that typically. Some of us do. Some of us are accountable for making interesting episodes. So our brain, our little spotty senses are on every single conceivable level. When I had this first happen to me, I remember driving the car, and it's one of these indescribable things at first, because it's like, whoa. I mean, if I'm literally driving my car, I think it was like I hit an intersection where I didn't have to drive. I was waiting for a light. I remember just kind of lifting up in the seat and just going, whoa, what is this? You know, and it was like, as soon as I lift up, look, gone. Overcast days on highways with vegetation on both sides tends to make a trigger. And it's more that I think one of the things is that the vegetation, especially in overpasses make it fire as well. I don't know why. But what it is visually for me is that it's blocking all civilization. Beyond basic structure that could exist in the future. I mean, cars. Again, it's not really the future. It's a different reality. Not to say that they'd build homes different or something like that, but I have a couple different places I've seen that homes are different. There's this weird desert community I see every once in a while. And it's like this weird, I don't say weird, but our homes are designed to be creative outlets. You are to have, well, you can have a room for every hobby/profession that you have. There's really no such thing as a hobby in this world. It's everything is there for you constantly. And it would be to describe sort of the gestalt-y feeling, which is, again, a complete image, a 3D hologram of a world, right? You can look in it and look around. It's just one frame, but it's like it's the whole thing. And so you can look around. It gives me the feeling that it's like, one, you, your spouse, and your kids. We're all in this to win it. Kids aren't being jerks. Your spouse isn't cheating. I mean, it's just everybody's in it to win it constantly. Nobody's worried about Botox injections. Nobody's worried about getting old. Kids aren't complaining they don't have something that's on TV because there is no TV. I mean, I've never had the feeling that that's there. But it would be that if you wanted to get into solar panels or electric cars or wood carving, the society of that time would simply provide it to you and hook you up with people that already do it. So you have an apprenticeship. It's sort of the feeling. It's a bizarre thing to admit. But I've mentioned, you know, we all want to play little tricks with our minds, right? To get what we want. You psych yourself out. That's what psyching yourself out is playing with your mind. It really is. We just have more clinical ways to do it. Oh, he's an athlete. He psychs himself out. Or she's a musician. She psychs herself out before she goes on stage because he's actually very nervous. That's all cool and that's all great. But if you sit in a room and supposedly do it to yourself, you could have some people say you're a little nuts. Don't worry about them. It's your life, right? Think about it this way. Regardless if you've had this experience, but especially if you have, please let me know. We are trying to frame the circumstances of this test. We're like, okay, well, it's a test. All right, what the hell does that mean? You know, what do I have to do? You assume right off the bat you need to be a good person, but that gets boring. Not that you get bored of being a good person, but that, like, what's the result? What do I get out of this thing? Do I get to go to heaven? We've turned the afterlife into a binary situation. Heaven or hell, heaven or hell, heaven or hell. No reincarnation. But if this is nothing more, I say nothing more. That's kind of funny. But if this is a situation where we're pining for a better reality in the next life, then, and we could have been way up there at one point and we got cynical and we bought into crap and went down. What I'm curious of is whether or not we get to adjust while we're alive. You would then wake up every day if you could put this into a frame of mind, right? Don't worry about flat earth versus globe earth. I'm going to use a dirty word, okay? Fuck those two things. Those things do nothing for you, okay? This one will do something for you. Be a great person. Be a helpful person to others. If you know how to do something, don't covet it. Hand it out. Hand it out to the point you're worried that you might be put out of work by your neighbor because they could take your job. Guarantee there's a reward on the other side of that lifestyle. So every day you wake up, you're all right. I am no longer going to listen to fake stuff coming at me. And this is not just news. It is educational systems. It's people next to you who are weak-minded. You don't have to hate them, and you don't have to attack them. You just don't have to let that stuff in your head. When your kid comes to you and says something silly, because they're kids, you don't pound them in the face. How dare you say something that's not true? You go, oh, is that right, honey? Yeah, that's what I saw, an elf in the backyard. No, really. What do you look like? Well, you know, I had red noses. And try to enjoy disinformation a little bit like that. But it's all about you. It's about you taking control of your life. I haven't said this before, but it's true. Let's say you want to be a good person, because that's the mechanism by which you get to use the old escalator and get up to this other realm. Think about it this way. You know you have things in life that you're good at, and you know you have things in life that you're okay at, and you have some things in life that you're not very good at all. Well, let's go into the category of you being a good person, whatever that means. I bet there's some areas of being good to yourself, loving yourself in the mirror, being good to your children, being good to your spouse, being good to the public at large, being good to a friend, helping somebody out you don't even know. And then there's areas that you're good at and areas that you're not good at within those paradigms. Well, I can really support my spouse in this way. In this other way, I'm not very good. I'll give you one of my own. I'm definitely, as you might imagine, a super duper like champion of people's dreams. I mean, I can get in you, and it's once I get into you, you'll realize, like, if I life coach you, man, it will not feel like a raw bunch of crap. I'm going to ask you meticulous questions, both coarse and fine-tuning questions about who you are. And to the degree you're telling me the truth, and I'll try to smell your BS as well, even if you're doing it unintentionally. I'll get into your past. I'll get into your present. I'll get into your goals of your future, and I will construct out of your existence a plan that is based on who you are exactly right now. And you won't be able to deny the plan that's made for you, out of you, for you, with your dreams, with options to change your plan. You're good. Now, let's say I get to know you really, really well. I have had this defect, okay? This is a funny one, man. You're not even going to expect this one. I've had this weird defect for a long, long time. It's your birthday. I know you really well. And I don't know why, but I suck at putting on birthdays for people. Sometimes I do really well. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I know what I need to do. And I've gotten better in the last couple of years. I found that one of my strengths, and I should say this, I got a friend who's got a birthday and a Christmas really close together. And so instead of buying them something, I took the favorite movie that they love. It was a Wes Anderson movie. And I painted like three paintings. In fact, I did a painting. It's the one with Moonrise Kingdom. Jeez, I can't believe I had to look that up. I bought a little white house, or a lighthouse, not a white house. Did a little lighthouse that was like a bird feeder. And then I totally painted it to look like the one in the movie and put the little girl on top. Then I did a bunch of relief wood on a canvas. And I made the house, that famous house, and it's all relief with her on the top. And then I did the tents and a little tiny canvas about this big. That one, I blew it out of the park, cried. It was great. So, got a little bit better. But, I mean, for years, you can talk to ex-girlfriends. Friends are just like, yeah, I don't even know if this dude knows I'm alive. It's weird. So, if I want to make someone feel special, it's more difficult in the birthday realm than for me, for whatever stupid reason. Again, I might have figured it out, but sometimes stuff just takes time. So you're good at certain things is my point. Pick the ones that you're really good at and just be very adamant about that. And then if you want to get good at the ones that you have traditionally not done so great at, just, you know, peek over into the other column and practice. But don't commit to anything in that column because that's not your strength. But this gets at the heart of something else deeper for me. And it's sort of the thing I'd mentioned in a recent episode here, which is the alien debut, which is, if this is a big test in here, more like a Dark City thing, where we're in a container that has all of the hallmarks of not a container to deceive us, then they absolutely do not want us to figure out that we're being watched and that they're trying to distill out of us something that is very special. They're testing our DNA or whatever. They never want us to find out what's going on. If it's God, maybe God himself, herself has the same exact objective. They can't know that they're being tested. Or if they're smart enough to figure out that they're being tested, and they figure out exactly how they're being tested, well, then they deserve whatever benefits they can gain for achieving, in this particular instance of humanity, the benefits of the game. But isn't it interesting how man is born into this world? And we're never given a book on how to live our lives and what the hell we're doing here. What does religion do in general? Well, in some ways, when you just look at the moral code of man, you could say, oh, well, religion provides a moral code, teaches us how to behave in case you can't figure it out by yourself, right? It is interesting to think that when we're raised in the moral code of a church, even just the Ten Commandments, it's pretty easy to understand that thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, right? That's pretty easy because you don't want to be killed. So you can assume that you shouldn't be killing other people. Anything that you don't like, you know that someone else potentially also wouldn't like it. Makes sense. But there's one in there that's fairly metaphysical, which is something to the effect of thou shalt not covet thy friend's wife or something like that. Okay, well, that might fall immediately in the category of you wouldn't want anyone else to have the hots for your wife. But isn't it interesting in society today, we have this very common thing that occurs, and I can't say that I would be completely innocent of this myself. When you get to date or marry someone who, for you, is handsome, beautiful, amazing, whatever, and then you go to a restaurant or a public place with that person, and people start to look at your spouse, whatever configuration of the combination it is, you have, and it's not, I mean, I don't know, I'm not blaming anybody. I have been there several times. They're coveting your spouse. Everyone's going, whoa, look at that person. She's hot, he's handsome, whatever. Nice body, either way. And hey, if you're dating someone with all those attributes and they have a brain, then it just keeps going up and up and up. And then you take sort of some pride that that's, you've done well. It's a self-gratification thing. But in the end, what you've done is you've orchestrated that commandment to be broken. I mean, we're all adults here. I'm not trying to blame anybody because I've done it. I mean, I haven't taken my girlfriend to a restaurant to do that, but it happens, right? So what if you didn't have the Ten Commandments? It's interesting to think that there's some, I think, that we'd figure out, and there's a bunch of metaphysical ones and tiny ones that it just wouldn't occur to you, probably, occur to me, that those things are wrong. Or it would take several years to figure out it's wrong. Or maybe, because, you know, there are adults, put that way, that will drop little nuggets of wisdom on you, a grandmother, a grandfather, a mother, father, an uncle and aunt. And they'll lean in on you and be like, don't do that. And you're like, what? What? Yeah, don't do that thing. It's really bad. And then you're seriously confused. You're like, what am I doing wrong? That thing, don't do it. You know. And then eventually you stop doing it to appease the person that you love. But as you get older, you're like, oh my God, that was a good idea. That's horrible. If someone does that. And then you have children and or your friends and you try to talk them out of it. Because of the cost-benefit analysis, the pros and cons of the situation. The reason why I'm mentioning this is if this is truly a situation that I'm seeing, because I tell you what, I would transition in a split second with these realities. Because I get the sense that the people I know could also be duped into this reality, meaning there's multiple of us. But it's utterly blissful. Again, not everything is perfect. Nobody dies blissful. Nothing like that. Just, oh my God, we're not in some crazy place where the leaders of the world are trying to utterly and completely destroy the world so they can have all their nefarious satanic crap happen on a daily basis. There's definitely the art of being good, which is obviously relative to different people. A person who's living for evil, of course, would think it's good that Epstein created his island. It's hard to think about that. What we would have to say is that we create a quarantined area of the universe, some instance of the universe. In order to enter that instance of the universe, you have to pass a few tests, right? A few questions. Your background has to be checked. If you have a checkered background, we're going to have to look into your soul and go, oh, yeah, this person seems to really have figured it out. Wow, look at that re-engineered soul. That's really good. It's all spick and span inside this sprocket system. And then you got someone selling you this snake oil, and you're like, whoa, look at that. That's got a, that's Satan in there right there. It's part of his sludgy coal. Yeah, dude, sorry. Come back in a few millennia, maybe you can qualify to go into the courtyard. So it feels like these other realms are part of, you simply can't be with them. And isn't it interesting that there's all these fables and little lines about God where God can't be where sin is? And I think that there has to be some sort of qualification for that, because there is no place, if there is a God, okay, there's no place that God is lacking. Because if God wasn't in your bedroom when you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, then you wouldn't exist. Whoever this being is taking care of you and all your surroundings and every little particle that makes you up. In terms of the contextual meaning of how particles move around, it's very interesting. Do you think an ethereal particle cares about whether or not you're doing something with the ethereal particle that could be construed at a higher level as a sin? It's interesting. Where does the court system start? At the matter energy level or at the soul plane? There's all these passages about whether or not your thoughts are higher in sin than your actions. What I have to say, man, you could tell me, when I first heard, and I apologize, I don't have the passage. One of you is going to put it in the comments probably. But there's the passages in the Bible that talk about, you know, sins of the mind and sins of the flesh, and that the mind is just as responsible for sin as the flesh. And then you start looking inside your head and you're like, oh man, don't tell me this chaos that I can't control entirely is something that I'm responsible for. Now, I will say, and again, there's going to be a lot of new listeners. They'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? There's an episode out there called The Black Apple. And I apologize for everyone who knows. I'm just going to quickly give a few sentences so everybody in this conversation can understand it. The Black Apple is my personal label for a particular thing that I think occurs to mankind as being a symbiotic soul body being. If I ask you if you love your mother, and you do, love somebody that you love, and you say yes, geographically speaking, soul-wise, you start to develop the feeling in your chest, and then you speak it out. The truth came from within you that's empirical, that is absolute. You love this person. You love this thing, whatever it is. So that's where I think truth comes from. The black apple is a outer influence to your soul. It's like seeing a movie. It's like seeing a movie of your life written and directed by a dark force that knows everything about you and can contextually manipulate things. So you're suspicious of your girlfriend, suspicious of your boyfriend, you're suspicious of your job or whatever it is. If you have those weird feelings, uncertainty, even if you have guilt, it's like Edgar Allan Poe got eaten up, his character, what is it, the one about the heartbeat in the floorboards, because he hit a body down there. Because he really did this sin and he really hit someone in the floorboards, the black apple sits there and goes, you know, she's still alive, you know? And so anyway, what ends up happening is this stuff is projected at you and you have a choice to accept it or reject it. Have you ever found yourself blow up on a human being and then you're like, what the hell did I say all that crap for? Man, I'm so embarrassed I blew up on somebody. The black apple was right there to feed you. And the only thing I can kind of deduce from it is to say there's an evil force out there that feeds on your emotions. And it's much easier for it to create negative spins on all reality than it is for it to write a script to construct a positive situation. It's probably there for both. The reason why I mention that right now is for the following. You're trying to be a good person. You're trying to take control of your life. I will tell you categorically, after I finally I did the episode for you guys about the black apple, and I told you flat out in the video that I was going to be chasing that thing away as if it's a different being. My God, the upgrade to my life has been amazing, absolutely amazing. And what I suggested in the video, which is sort of what I assume happened, is imagine you had, and there's a movie called Branded, which I've talked about several times. It has to do with our lust for brands, and there's an alien that lives in a different, like, sort of dimension that we can't see very well. And as we lust for products, this being is sucking out that feeling. The second you get the product, like a hoarder, and you take it home and you just put it in a pile, the second you buy it, it breaks away from your brainstem and goes up and feeds the mothership. And so all brands on Earth are actually an alien construct. It's a brilliant indie Russian movie with some pretty hefty cast members from The Exorcist. But imagine you cut it off. We on Earth figure out that brands are this alien civilization that's just destroying the world. And so everybody moves in and gets rid of brands. And this being can't get anything out of us ever again. And we find a way to see them. And when they go away, and then we're like, good. Now, if we could ever go back to brands, they can show up again. So be careful, guys. We learn our lesson, right? So the Black Apple is a totally generic version of Branded. It is on you for every reason that's conceivable. And if you cut it off, it tends to leave you alone. But if it does come back and it does crawl up your butt, man, it's like a sniper sometimes, man. Being a writer, it really screws with you because you have a talent for emulating characters on a dime, right? I have a lot of fun with my friends pretending to be all kinds of characters. I do a little bit on the show with you guys. But if you're more dynamic in your brain like that, it can just say, oh, you're looking in that direction. You're already a writer, so you're already paid to come up with fictional scenarios. Now watch this. Evil, 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 evil. That's your friend. That's your lover. That's your mom, your dad, your relatives, whatever. God himself. I'm going to convince you that God's bad. Once you deny it, it goes away. And it will help you facilitate. Just go look up Black Apple on deepthoughtsradio.com. Just look up Apple in the search field. Give it a look-see. Might change your life. Somebody wrote in the comments, this changed my life. I was like, yeah, mine too. I said a long time ago, probably about 2 years ago, and other times since then, that we can only do something for so long before we get tired of it. And I tell you, the most beautiful thing is we can only hate each other so much before we're done with it. Think about every time your country has gone to war against another country, and the propaganda machine from your military, from your government, created things to make you think that other people were really awful. 10 years, 20 years passes, and all of a sudden we're ready to mend the fence. And we're looking at each other like, you know, I was a racist towards you because my country made me a racist against you, or told me to be a racist against you, and I was dumb enough to follow it because I was born into it, right? I just watched a special last night on the Warner Brothers cartoon character Bugs Bunny and the creation of Bugs Bunny. It's about 45 minutes long, and man, what a brilliant watch. 48 minutes, something like that. They're amazing footage of these animators moving from different studios and how Bugs Bunny was regenerated 50 times. But when the war came around, 1941, you got the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor, which, of course, we orchestrated with them. You have Hitler declaring war on the United States because we declared war on Japan. You know, it was crazy. So then the Warner Brothers franchise got involved with these wartime cartoons. And there was a black and white division and a color division. They were drawing Japanese people horribly. Horribly. I mean, just awful. Just buck teeth and just stupid caricatures of Japanese people, which didn't emulate reality. But by the time it got to Jerry Lewis, he was doing the same thing. He has a character that's all bucktooth, Asian thing. Okay, well, every race has buck teeth people. No more than any other race, okay. But we started calling each other, you know, Jap, and I don't even know what the hell they called us. You know, again, with the Nazis, it was like Krauts or whatever. It wasn't, didn't feel as bad, you know. I don't know what the deal is. You know, descending from Europe and coming to America, I think it was harder for them to sell a stereotypical facial expression of a German person. But because we hadn't traveled to Japan, we didn't know Japanese people that well. I mean, big cities would always know. Of course, we incarcerated a bunch of them in San Bruno, California, and it's just awful. Making them out to be what they're not. We have to police that kind of stuff for future generations, men. Because we can't make a habit out of hating, man. Look at the Twilight Zone with George Takei. Is that his? Is Takei or Takei? I think it's Takei is the way he likes to say it. He was in a Twilight Zone that apparently they said never aired more than once because it was a white guy in an alley attic and it was him coming up as a gardener and he was in World War II and this other guy was really young. Like one was old enough to be his dad and there's a samurai sword involved and it went really dark and they just wouldn't let it go on TV again. And you can, I own it, so it's one way I've seen it several times, but it's in season 4, which is also not on Netflix. It's on Hulu. We're coming out of this phase. Yes, there are people spending tremendous amounts of money on this hatred thing, and they've really convinced a lot of folks to just go balls to the wall. Every day they wake up, they are on the edge of life. They're on the edge of prosperity, feeling like they have no options. Because they have no guidance. They're unwilling to, they just don't know. You can pick up everything and change where you live. It's better than running around randomly punching people in subways. Just pick up everything you own. Go to a different town. Explain your situation. Get on welfare if you have to for a little while and start something new in a positive region of the world. Don't burn your soul for anybody else. And it's unbelievable, I mean, again, how dark certain leaders are. I mean, George Soros' soul, I think it's like, you know, that dude goes to hell and the devil's like, God damn, I thought I was a fucking piece of shit. But George, here's the medallion. You just take over being Satan because, man, I thought I had the game down, but you're the dude. See you later, man. It's nuts. So trying to wake up every day, let's get rid of all that dark stuff for a second. We had to visit it for a second. Just like Luke Skywalker on Dagobah had to go into the cave. We had to go into the cave for a split second to see ourselves. Waking up for positivity. My strategy has been to simplify my life. Initially, you got to simplify almost all your communications. Who do you talk to on a daily basis? What do you talk about? If you're in a place that you love, then keep nurturing that routine that you have because that has probably got a really good sort of like marimba thing or xylophone thing where you're hitting the notes in a circle, almost like a wind chime, and it's sounding good to you that day, you know? The healing bowls that you strum or nice, right? But if you're lacking that perfection, like a lot of us, what I have found a workout, and it's almost been almost serendipitous thing, is to say, okay, how do you usually relay out your room? You got a front room, bedroom, your office. Now let's give you an idealistic situation. Well, in my experience, okay, the very best way to do it is to take everything out of the room. I don't care if you got to use your front lawn, if you got to use all your rooms because you're in an apartment, if you got a back patio and you got a backyard like this, take everything out back. Scrub it all down. Paint it differently if you need to. If you got bad mojo in there, like The Shining, you've had a few arguments with your previous girlfriend, boyfriend, or they still live with you, but you're both kind of okay today. You both need to have the Pavlovian trigger of the paint color to be reset. If a particular piece of furniture was involved in an argument for whatever reason, maybe you do what they did in Office Space. You get a sledgehammer and you just destroy it. Because even if it exists somewhere in the world, you can still think about it, but you just break it down. You put it in the dumpster. It's perfectly fine. But that memory's got to go. When you're all done resetting bad imagery, getting rid of icons that are bad for you. Again, I'll tell you, if this cell phone was involved in some fight I had or something, I threw it at the wall or something, right? It's got to go. If I give it to a friend, it still exists. In my mind, it still exists. It didn't die. It's got to be crushed up and destroyed. So that turns, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, right? Okay, so now you're going to put everything back in and maybe change it around a little bit. Test things out. Don't just say the sofa goes here because it always goes here. Try it a different way. Maybe you put a regimen in. And this is more of a metaphorical exercise than a physical exercise, but this one works too, because you can do what I'm about to say with the inside of your brain. Sometimes outside Pavlovian triggers make it more difficult for you to re-engineer your consciousness, right? Put it in and you try it. Say in a month, 2 weeks, we're going to try it again, some other location. Maybe we really like the way that it's set up initially. Feel like you got it right. But you don't know what it's like to change it, so you change it a different way. And you confirm either that you love the previous way, or you confirm, yeah, there are more options than just the first instincts that we had. I think you get me on this particular metaphor, right? Reduce the demands of your life down to the most simplistic demands that you can. And of course, if you're a spouse and then you're a mother, father, and you got little ones running around, I know this is a little more difficult to manage the chaos. Maybe it's the after hours time when they're asleep. Or you're getting your private time. I will tell you that in 2020 and 2021, I've heard the following thing several times, and I shared it with you guys as soon as I heard it, but I want to kind of loop back with you because it's totally related to you having a better life. And thus, potentially, if this paradigm of conversation I started this episode out with is true, you ascending to a better plane of existence, whether it be a micro level of improvement or a macro level of improvement. My friends that were very shocked and affected by the changes last year, who have turned their lives around and made more money in the last 12 months than they've ever made in their lives, are the people that said, you know what? I'm going to ignore all this bullshit. I'm not going to let it get to me. And you simply turn off all these arteries of crap. It is amazing when you pull out of those realms and you don't watch them anymore. And then you regulate what you take in as being a positive. Like, maybe not watch all the narco shows on Netflix. Maybe not watch mobster interviews on YouTube. Focus on positive stuff. Maybe focus, like I did, on Computer Chronicles, something that is like from your past that you admire, that's always positive. Whatever that is, watch Soul Train Dance Lines or whatever it is. Pick something that was happy. And if you were raised in the 90s, I don't know where you go. Maybe go back to your parents' age. Go find something that's old and endearing. When you do that for a little while and then you tune back in, and you go to a friend's house, you go to some restaurant that's playing crappy news, you'll feel it. You'll feel how the world majority lives in fiction and you live in reality. Even if it's retro reality, it's reality. And what this does is this removes this acidic frequency from your life. And it's also an interfering frequency. You know, you will hear me say several times, and I got this from Vivian Kubrick. She says this to me all the time, and it's just been beautiful since then. But low vibration and high vibration people Just like a computer, the lower the frequency of the CPU, the slower it is, the less you can do with it. The higher frequency, you get more zeros and ones. You get more processing power. The higher the frequency, the more complex subjects you can hold in your mind. If you have a really beautiful frequency, and if you've done something physical that's, you got a dance move going, or you're playing some sport, or you're doing something, and something bothers you. You had a really good train of thought, but a big motorcycle drove by, or some, you know, like we got these kids that are putting glass packs on these crappy cars. It could throw you off your consciousness. So you want to reduce the noise around your body too. It will return control to your life. And then, what has always been a simple concept, having beautiful thoughts, becomes possible. Because, you know, what's funny is there's a lot of music out there. There's a lot of healing bowls and all kinds of wild stuff, healing music. I use brain.fm, which is an application on your telephone, your iPad. It goes through a browser. It has just transformed my life in terms of helping me focus, go to sleep. It helps me keep control over my frequencies. And it will instill you with frequencies that will give you a certain feeling, a focus, interesting things, right? So we want to take complete charge of our life. Because again, if I told you at the beginning of this episode, look, here's the thing. Bear with me on this example here. You know, let's say I said, for whatever reason, I can guarantee you that this episode is 1,000% the way the universe works. You have a choice. Depending on how amazing you are in this existence, this plane of existence, if you, in this journey, genuinely understanding what is harm and what is no harm, if you can figure out how to be good to everyone, be good to yourself, have a general positive feeling about what the universe can do for you, not only will you have a much better existence in this instance of life as a human being, but as your body passes and you go to the next realm, and believe me, at the end of this journey, it'll be challenging. Your health will deteriorate. You need to understand that's just a process, and don't start hating the universe because of a natural thing that occurs. You don't have to take yourself out. You're to go through that journey because there's all kinds of lessons between now and the end of your life. But if you end it well, you won't just go up a single degree of happiness, goodness, and being in a world with people that believe the same thing you believe. You will go up several orders, being given the opportunity and being given the benefit of the doubt that you can exist up there with people who are just like the way you ended your life. And because you're going to get a brand new body that's not going to hurt, and because you do remember what you wanted to do in the previous world that was interfered by the mere design of that plane of existence that you were in, you're going to get to that other plane, and you're going to appreciate the flowers, the sky, the vegetation, the architecture, a smile on a person, hanging out in the park, having no bills, no taxes. All you're going to do is do what you want to do. And, you know, if there needed to be a house built, everyone's going to work on that together. If a ditch needs to be dug, everyone's going to do that together. And it's not anyone lower or higher than another person. In fact, some super mega genius could be like, I need to dig a ditch. Because while I'm digging this ditch, I'm thinking about this problem I've been trying to solve at home. And this is just good old-fashioned work that makes me feel good at the end of the day. When the water flows down that ditch and goes to the right pipe or whatever, I did that. And I did that with my neighbors, and I did it with my fellow people. If I tell it to you like that and you believe me, then you're like, okay, this is cool. I love it. I got a little secret about the universe. All right? Now, the way I get there, and the way I get the opportunity to pop to the highest next level. I mean, let's say there's 100 levels. I would assume there's probably infinite levels, but let's say there's only 100. And you and I right now, you can hear my voice because we're on, say, 26. But we'd like to get, you know, from this realm after we pass naturally, however that happens, could be an accident or whatever, but when we pass, we could go up 2 levels, 5 levels, 10 levels, and maybe the highest we could pop is 20 levels. I'm making this up. But we're making the assumption, hopefully accurately, that the method by which that we ascend to the highest level next is to be the best person we can possibly be in this level. And it doesn't matter when we start, as long as we start, you know, probably more than just a day before we die. And it's not about, you know, making everything that's wrong right in your mind. You know, it's not like I got friends of mine that, again, 10 years ago when I knew them, and they were in their 60s, they're willing to call a spade, a bad thing, a bad thing. Now they're in their 70s, they're kind of loopy in their head, and they're trying to make everything good, super bad things good, because they just want to kumbaya out of the moment, right? We're not talking about that. We want to simplify and refine our souls. And then we assume that as we do that, as we project out, we have plenty of love to give other people, plenty of kindness to give other people, because we love ourselves and we are kind to ourselves. Again, I keep thinking back at that Dick Gregory statement. He was being interviewed. I mentioned this 20 episodes ago. He's a black comedian from back in the day. Brilliant man. He's being interviewed by someone really late in his life. I mean, he lived a long time. But another black kid, younger, is interviewing him and proposing to him that black people can't do something because they're black. And oh my God, you talk about, oh, just that wisdom that is like dripping molasses wisdom that's just like super concentrated. Everybody shut up because Dick Gregory's talking, you know. He lashes out, not personally at the kid necessarily, but he said, don't ever say that. Don't ever say that because you're black, you can't do something. He says, and I'm paraphrasing, but, and he's pissed, and I've never seen him be so mad. I think that's what the video was called. It's like celebrities who've lost their cool or something like that was the thing. It's the only one that mattered to me. But he said, you've already lost if you say that. You're buying into that crap that we're inferior. Stop it, because he was super successful. And he had to fight through racism and all kinds of stuff, man. And he's kind of like, you know, you don't even know what racism is. You have no clue. You can eat, drink at any fountain. You can go into any door. You can marry a white girl. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're pissing and moaning like a little bitch. You know, I mean, it was like, it was amazing. And it was like everybody of every race can hear this story and get it. And I feel like when you are kind to yourself and you love yourself, you have to take a little bit of that molasses, right? A little bit of caramel amazingness, right? And put it in your life. Take it, eat it, and let it penetrate you and say, okay, here's the thing. Here's the new rule with myself. Because there's all kinds of psychology studies that are going to echo what I'm saying. They've done huge studies, and they said the most successful people tend not to take credit for the things they've gotten wrong in their life, which sounds hideous, right? Donald Trump's like this. What difference does it make at this point? You know. So the idea is, if you, in our realm of existence, before you get to being a billionaire and a politician, all this other crap, just in our realm of existence, if you do something wrong, instead of saying things that are like almost irreversible statements like, well, I guess, you know, you're just a jerk. You're just this way. It's an absolute statement that should never be spoken. He's having a girlfriend. If she ever wanted to try and win an argument, it was really pathetic. You'd ask her not to do something again, like something bad occurred. And you're like, hey, man, I really would appreciate it if you didn't do that. Oh, well, I guess I'm just a bitch. I guess I'm just a jerk. I'm just blah, blah, blah. I'm an asshole, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, I just don't want you to do that one thing. if you can get around it, and if you need to, let me know that that's about to occur, and because you know I don't like it, but whatever it is, you're just kind of trying to be cool. What you need to say to yourself, forget this relationship example I gave, is, oh man, I really screwed that one up. You know what? I now know. I made the mistake, and I'm going to get it right next time. And then just thank your lucky stars that, man, you figured out one thing you got wrong. It's totally cool. You'll be better next time. And what's interesting is there's archetypes of getting things wrong. A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times it's a lack of analysis. You didn't pay attention. And so you got something wrong. You didn't look at the facts before you went into something. I'll give you a silly analogy. If you're hooked on candy, for example, one of the reasons why certain adults get out of eating candy from their adolescence to their adulthood is that they remember the chemical effects of eating candy. They had a lust for it. While they're chewing up the candy in their mouth, it's giving them this euphoric feeling. But the second they swallow and drink water or whatever it is, it's totally gone. You don't have any remnant of the taste anymore. And so the only thing you can do is put more of it in your pie hole and get diabetes, right? So the more that you gain weight, you have health issues from eating candy, you're realizing, you know what, the experience is really only in my head that eating a whole bag of candy is going to be great. Because watch this, don't put another licorice stick in your mouth. Chew it up, drink some water. What do you taste now? A little bit maybe. You got stuff stuck in your teeth, you have to dig it out later. There's all kinds of negativity to it. So once you start realizing these patterns don't really pay off, you can start getting control of yourself. But loving yourself is gigantic. When you start exhibitioning the love for yourself in verbal methodologies on a like minute-to-minute basis, then you become a narcissist. But to utter to a friend, you know, I think I love myself, you know. That should be fully accepted in society. But if you walk around going, God, if you guys could only be as good as I am at all these things, it could even be true. It could even be true that you are just better than most of us at something that you do. And it's frustrating for you to see people botch things. Think about all the super talented people you might meet in your lifetime. How depressing is it for, you know, was it for Eddie Van Halen to watch other people play the guitar, you know? In his genre. Anyone who's amazing. It's got to get kind of lonely at the top, right? Or they could think of us focus on something else. We're all usually capable of finding something in ourselves that needs to be a little bit modified, right? What's interesting about this concept, and I can almost assure you this would be part of the result of attempting to embrace this notion. Again, I'm just throwing you something that happens to me and I'm thinking about it out loud to you guys. The more that you gain control over your mind and therefore, or thus, your happiness in life, you gain control. Doesn't mean you're perfect, you know, by any means. I don't even know what that would be. You'll become increasingly more happy. And there could be things that you would love to change, and you just kind of look in the mirror and you're like, well, I'm just big boned, you know, whatever it is or whatever the thing is. It's like you fell in love with someone else's face. That's a dangerous one. Whatever it is, what you do get right and what you do get better will change your life. I mean, obviously, but it will change the overall frequency that you attract to yourself. And it's, if you think about it in a scientific manner, you know that it's like the Night at the Roxbury sketch from SNL plus the movie where you've got Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan go to this nightclub and they're just complete crazy dudes in these slick suits. And you know, the skit is that they go up against the bar And it's got that song playing, you know, what is love? You know, baby, don't hurt me no more. So they coerce a girl to come over and get between them. And then what happens? They move in unison, and the girl has no clue that they're about to do what they're about to do. And then so they shake that person to the point they pop out. They get thrown away from the two guys. And, of course, they don't want that to occur, but they're so, I guess, idiotic may be the phrase. The movie, by the way, is pretty damn good, I have to say, for one of those kind of films. If you don't fit the frequency of the reality that you're in, you can only fit in the frequency that you are. And that should be an exciting little scientific reality for you. If you believe in frequencies, healing frequencies, any of that kind of stuff, well, if you can change your soul's frequency, it's going to change your body's frequency. Then it's going to change your mind's frequency. And then it's going to either make your body, mind, soul combination compatible with your plane of existence, or it's going to be incompatible. You get super positive in a negative world, and you go to bed, you're probably going to the one that you're only compatible with, which is up, 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 if up is better. It doesn't mean that, you know, while we're trying to be good and we're actually being successful and something negative occurs to us, something serendipitous, you lose your job or they hatch another crazy thing on the universe. It's almost so scientific and so absolute that maybe you just go, you know what? It's like Christopher Reeve in the movie Somewhere in Time, where the way that he travels through time is to simply convince himself that he is at the time where this woman in the painting that he's in love with exists. And so that's how he transports himself through time. He simply goes, I am in that time. And he so absolutely meditates on it that he transforms in time. The other one to remember as I close this thing out would be that the inverse could be true as well. Beware of anyone selling you negativity, selling you any type of racism, cantankerous thoughts, cynical thoughts. Again, this thing of life's a bitch and then you die. Boy, you hang on to that passport of an analogy, you got a one-way ticket down the elevator. Because it's just a cynical loser thought. Get rid of that kind of thinking. Understand that you probably completely and utterly control your position in the universe. It's just no one's ever told you. Yes, The Secret is the same thing. But you have these whole movies made about these concepts that really don't tell you much about how to get there. Because it is definitely going to be a custom fit to you. Like I said, you have talents of being good right now. And you have areas where, like me, you're not so talented at it. Well, you put most of your eggs in this basket for now, which is probably multiple things. And then you work on the ones that are, you know, that you're not so good at. Do research just like anybody. When the internet finally came around, I remember actually going on the websites and going, great gifts for friends, you know, and great ways to impress somebody and how to orchestrate something that's cool. You know, candlelight dinner, making someone dinner and making that event, and that was no problem, man. But this thing, you know, because I dated a few people that, my God, Christmas and New Year's and all the other holidays of the year, if you combine their expectations of those days, it was only like a quarter of what they expected to have happen on their birthday. And then I dated, when I was really, really young, I dated a clinically depressed person. And that was an ass kicker, man. There's just nothing you can do in that scenario. But that's sort of a downer, so don't think about that. So let's go out there and be super duper positive. I'd be really interested in any of your paths where you conquered a little bit of this. And I want you to be super happy when you tab into the comment field and you're like, don't go down the negative route. Just go like, look, man, I had the same exact thing. I did this and this and this, and poof, it all went up. And just understand you're probably helping every single one of us that read your comment. You know, it's cool. So anyway, I think that's all I got on this particular subject. This one's near and dear to my heart, and one I've been thinking about quite a bit, and one I'm going to be doing everything in this video I've told you on a daily basis. So this is not me pumping out something just to cover an episode. If you haven't been to deepthoughtsradio.com, all I'm going to say is everything's there. To all the Patreons, thank you so much. Take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you on the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.